Our gospel lesson text this morning is taken from the book of Joshua. We're hearing from the Lord each week from the book of Joshua as this is being preached through. And we saw for a number of weeks how in the first 12 chapters of Joshua that God fulfilled his promises to his people and conquered the promised land and gave that to them as their inheritance, which had been promised first to Abraham and then through Moses. And now we're in this section, chapters 13 through 21, where the land is being apportioned. It's being distributed among the 12 tribes of Israel. And as we look at this section, we're looking at several themes that are part of this distribution, this allotting of various plots of land and areas of the promised land that are given to various tribes. And this morning we look at what the Levites, the tribe of Levi, inherits and what that significance is for us today. So we begin this morning with chapter 13 in the book of Joshua. That's found on page 161 in the Bible that are in your seats. We'll read verse 14 and we'll plop down through a couple of places here, and I'll let you know where we're going so you can follow along. So Joshua chapter 13, verse 14, this is God's word, eternally true. But to the tribe of Levi, he gave no inheritance, since the offerings made by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he promised them. Now go down a few verses to verse 33 in the same chapter. So same chapter 13, verse 33. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance, as he promised them. Now look forward to chapter 14 and verse 4. So Joshua chapter 14, verse 4. For the sons of Joseph had become two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites received no share of the land, but only towns to live in, with pasture lands for their flocks and herds. And then lastly, chapter 21. So turn a little ways there to get to Joshua chapter 21. Starting in verse 1. Now the family heads of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the other tribal families of Israel at Shiloh in Canaan, and said to them, The Lord commanded through Moses that you give us towns to live in with pasture lands for our livestock. So, as the Lord had commanded, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own inheritance. We'll look at various ones in a future week, but for now, here ends our reading. The word of the Lord. Thanks indeed for this, his word. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we are grateful that you don't leave us to swim around aimlessly, not knowing in which direction is the shore in the middle of a sea. But you've given us your word, direction, instruction about who you are, what you're like, and what we are to be like, the way in which we are to go. And in that way, you've told us, is great blessing. So you have washed away our sins in the gospel, and now you say to us to conduct our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel, that we might be further blessed, blessed in this life. So we pray that you would, by the work of your Spirit, help us to understand this text. Help us to see you in your gospel. Help us to see how we might conduct our lives in a manner worthy of your gospel, that we might experience what you want to give to us, your blessing. So Jesus, preach to us by this, your inspired word, and grant by your Spirit understanding. We pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen. I was telling the the guys at Biscuitville recently. Some of us, everyone's invited, all guys are invited Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock to come over to Biscuitville and eat biscuits. I was telling the guys there, it's Tuesday mornings, 8. I was telling the guys there maybe 2 weeks ago that one of the things I just kept resisting to buy year after year, and they'd probably come out with these in the 80s sometime, and I finally bought one. Randy and I were actually having lunch up at South Point at one point, and I went to Sears into there, and I got, what did Black & Decker call these? It was like an electric screwdriver. What do you call those? Thanks. I knew I was in trouble when I looked at Larry. So I finally got one of these. And, I had resisted for years and years. I'm not a great handyman. I'm not inept. But I don't do a lot in that direction. But I do some of that work. And, I've installed some screen doors. The last one, Matt did most of it, and I just had to clean up to do the rest. But I've installed those by myself. I've done various things, repaired my own garage door opener, that kind of stuff. But I just resisted for so long because I'm a cheapskate. I don't like spending money. I like to have money in case there's something I really want. And so I don't spend money on little things. And I considered this electric screwdriver, thanks guys, one of those things. And so I didn't get it year after year. And each time I'd be working on a project, I'd say, oh boy, that electric screwdriver would be nice. And the next day my hand would be sore. If you could see the size of my little thin wrists, you'd know why. But I wouldn't do it. I'd say, no, I just can't conceive of another project that I'd be doing where I would need an electric screwdriver. That's the last thing I'll ever do where I'll need that. Matt's looking at me like I'm crazy because he uses these kind of things every day. But I finally got this thing. I said, okay, I'm going to get it. And it cost me like a whole $19 or something at Sears. And I've used it so much, and every time I use that thing, I actually have joy in my joy in my heart. I'm so happy about this thing. Yeah, I pull it off. I reach over it's in the laundry room, and I in a charger, and I pull that thing off, and I go zip, 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 and I am done. I drill holes with this thing and minor things. It's got an adjustment on the torque there, and I love this thing. But I can just imagine, somebody who knows more than I, through all the projects that I did with a regular old screwdriver, just standing next to me and saying, John, you ready for that electric screwdriver yet? And I would have said, no, I'm okay. I don't need that. I can just do that. But now I see just how silly that would have been. And how I would now look upon myself as a silly young fool for not having an electric screwdriver. As we come to this passage, there's something that's tremendously important and tremendously practically useful, but of great value for us as God's people that we're to see in this passage. For Old Testament Israel, it was the Levites. And that's the big issue here in these passages. They were not granted land, but God's people were supposed to value these Levites tremendously. And to see these Levites as the center of what they really needed there in Israel in the promised land. So that's what we speak about this morning. Now, we don't have Levites today, but we have, so to speak, descendants of Levites, and from the Levites come the priests. Aaron was a Levite, Moses was a Levite, and they were Aaron was the priestly line, and so if you were a Levite descended from Aaron, you were then a priest, and And the Levites and the priests took care of the temple and did the sacrifices and all that kind of thing. So how's that relate today? Well, the first thing, and if you'd like to fill out blanks in an outline, you're welcome to do that. Or you can sit there and just listen. That's fine, too. But God says to us this, and it's point number one, if you'd like to follow along in an outline. Recognize your need for the cross of Christ. Recognize your need for the cross of Christ. The Levites had a crucial role in Israel. So crucial that God didn't allow them to have land. All the other tribes were given big sections of Israel as they entered into the promised land. And this was so they could farm it, and they could have produce, and they could feed their families. And this took up their time. This is what they spent their time on, farming this land. But the role of the Levites in Israel was so crucial. The role of temple sacrifices, worship acceptable to God so that God's people could be blessed. It was so crucial, their role was, that God would not give them land because he didn't want their time spent in farming. Now, farming was important. The Levites needed the produce of farming for themselves to live. They needed to eat too. But all of Israel was to see this very crucial role of the Levites, what they did, the temple work, the sacrifices that they made in the temple. All God's people were to recognize and take note of this, as the Levites were not landed in their inheritance, as they got this very peculiar inheritance. So the New Testament tells us that Jesus is one of these. He's a priest. We saw it tacked on to some of our songs. We sang about it. We saw it in some of the passages that Carl read for us already. If you look in your bulletin, you got one printed there from Hebrews, our declaration of the gospel. It is good news. It is gospel that we have a great high priest, Jesus. And this high priest, Jesus, offered himself as priest. He offered himself as the sacrifice. And we're told there in that Hebrews passage, that fourth line down in your bulletin in that declaration of the gospel, after he had provided purification for sins as our great high priest, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus, in his work on the cross, was doing priestly work. He was offering the one final, ultimate sacrifice that would take care of all the sins of God's people of all time. And after he offers this sacrifice of himself, he's resurrected from the dead 3 days later. And 40 days after that, he ascends up into heaven and he sits down because his priestly work is done. Why is this important? Well, we say, point A in your outline there, you need the priesthood of Jesus. You need the priesthood of Jesus. Because, B, by his sacrifice, your sins are forgiven. Jesus offered once for all, what's it say there? Purification for our sins. Purification. And we're all a people who need purification. We sin and we're defiled by our sin. We're dirty before God apart from Jesus. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. That's what's demonstrated for us in the sacrament of baptism. The washing away, the sprinkling clean, 1 Peter 1, the sprinkling clean of us, our souls, by the blood of Jesus. So we all need the priesthood of Jesus. We're to be like Israelites in the Old Testament that look at the Levites and say, thank you, God, for giving us these people. We're farmers, and that's important work, but we need our sins forgiven. We need sacrifices made in a proper way so that we're cleansed from the guilt of our sin. We're cleansed from the filth that our sin puts upon us. We need these folks. Thank you, Lord, for not giving them a normal inheritance so that they can put their full time on the temple and the sacrifices they're making for my sake. And so we say to the Lord God, our Father, thank you for giving us Jesus, the one final Levite and priest who makes complete, full, satisfactory sacrifice for my sin. No more sacrifice needed. God doesn't need my earnestness. He doesn't need my penance, my sacrifice, my good works. He doesn't need that for the forgiveness of my sins, because Jesus has sat down and he has shown me that the priestly work is finished. And so God says to us in this passage, just like he said to the Israelites under Joshua, value these people, the Levites. They give you what you need. And God says to us today in the church, as the people of God today, value Jesus, our great high priest. He has given you what you need. If you starve to death, it's okay, because Jesus has given you eternal life. His blood, his sacrifice, has cleansed you of all your sins. And even if you die, yet, John 11, will you live? And you'll be plenty well taken care of when you're with the Lord. That's what Paul says there in Philippians 1, isn't it? To die for me is much better. It's much better for me to be with the Lord. So recognize your need for the cross of Christ. Give great value and appreciation to Jesus for the priestly work he has done for you. Now the second thing, in a real practical way for us, and I thought about being fancy and saying this, but I thought that's just dumb. And so we've got it put to us this way. And you, boy, I hate saying this. Support pastors. Ah, I get to say this. I couldn't leave it out. Support pastors. chapter 13, verse 14. But to the tribe of Levi he gave no inheritance, since the offerings made by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance. Chapter 21, verse 3. So as the Lord had commanded, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own inheritance. These towns, these pasture lands that the Levites got in the day-to-day when they weren't serving in the priestly function. There eventually became so many priests and Levites that they weren't all serving all the time. This is why Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, he goes for his duty in Jerusalem. He's not always in duty, but his turn comes up. There's so many Levites. They're well taken care of. But Paul goes into this in 1 Corinthians 9 as well. He says those who preach the gospel should be able to make their living from the gospel. Those who are pastors should have their full time spent on this kind of stuff. The gospel in the Old Testament was that sacrifice could be made for your sins. And the Levites were the conduits of that good news. Today, the conduits of that good news, the conduits of the gospel, the way God brings out the gospel in his ordinary, regular fashion, is through pastors. And so he sets certain people aside that they might spend their full time in his word over his gospel, so that you might be edified, as it's said there in Ephesians 4, that God gave to the church as one of the things he gives to the church, pastors, so that the body of Christ might be built up. And I'm glad I don't have to give to you sermons each week that are from the leftover time after I've had to work in a full-time vocation. You get sermons that are spent from a week long of focusing on this. So support pastors, whether it's here or another place. Why? Well, who needs pastors? First, A, the world needs them to be reconciled to God. The world needs pastors to be reconciled to God. Now, this doesn't mean that pastors are mediators through whom a person has to go in order to be saved. It's not talking about that kind of thing. But pastors are those who have studied and know these things and are connected with what the church has said through the centuries is what the scriptures are teaching. And so pastors are there so that the gospel can remain true. So people can have a pure gospel presented to them. So people can find out how it is their sins might be forgiven. So the world needs to be reconciled to God, and God has appointed pastors so that pastors can communicate with the world how they might be reconciled to God, but then also how pastors can communicate to you so that you can communicate with the people in your lives how they might be reconciled to God as well. So Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians 5. You can look that up later. But the world needs pastors to be reconciled to the Lord. But B, also, you need pastors. You need pastors to be matured in Christ. You need pastors to be matured in Christ. If I was told that I had some problem with my brain, sorry, Joy, you're not going to operate on me. Joy is not a brain surgeon. I want someone with education and expertise and lots of practice on brain surgery before I open up my head to anybody. I had heart surgery on August 18th. I didn't go to just anybody for that. I didn't go to Steve Martin, the medieval barber, for that. Right, Todd? I went to a guy who doesn't have a listed phone number on the internet, in the yellow pages, on anything. He's not just a doctor. He's not just a cardiologist, that second level. He's not just a specialist within cardiology. He's the guy that guy had to call for me, and they called me. You can't call them. This guy is so high up. And he called me, and they made an appointment so I could go in there and get in process. I had to be referred up to him so I wouldn't waste his time. That's who I want to operate on me. And that's who you should want to operate on your souls. Whether it's here or you're in another town or whatever, you should look for in a church somebody who's able to mature you. Not somebody who's able to just tell you stuff you already know. Somebody who studied this, who knows the scriptures, who knows what's going on and all the ins and outs of things to the best of his ability. And this is because God cares for you to be matured, to be more like his son, Jesus. Third thing. So you support pastors. So this can be going on. Those in the world can be reconciled to God and can come into the church. And those who are in the church can be taught well that they might be matured. And people are taught well as pastors are supported. Just like the Levites were supported in the Old Testament, the sacrifices were all being done in proper order because the full attention of the Levites was on this important ministry. Third thing, consider the Lord your inheritance. Consider the Lord your inheritance. We see this in verse 33 of chapter 13. We saw this in Psalm 73, the first passage Carl read for us, our Psalter reading this morning. And this is throughout the Psalms. We see this idea of the psalmist says, "The Lord is my inheritance. The Lord is my portion, my cup." My portion, that's language of land inheritance. My portion of the promised land. And this was recognized by those in the Old Testament, by David the psalmist, that the Lord, not the land I have, not my kingship, David says, that's not my portion. My portion is truly you, Lord. Now, you've given me stuff, and that's great. But truly, really, the Lord is my portion. He's my inheritance. He's what I need. So don't say, oh yeah, the pastor's work is the work of the Lord, which it is, and that's all his ball of wax, but not mine. My ball of wax, my portion, my inheritance is my business, my work, my other pursuits. Now God has given you your business, your work, your other pursuits, if they be good pursuits there. He's given you your vocations, and he wants you to work those vocations out of love for your neighbor. He wants you to provide that product, that service, the thing that you do so that other people are well provided for. But in the midst of that, we have to recognize something here that the psalmist recognized. That the Levites are not the only ones who have the Lord as their inheritance. The Levites were an example for all the Israelites. The Levites were an example for the other tribes of Israel as to what their inheritance truly was. We're all to consider the Lord our true inheritance. And so in A there we say this: Levites and pastors today are examples for your heart. Most of you here are not called into pastoral ministry as a vocation, where the Lord and the offerings of his people from their diligent work will be your inheritance. But pastors and Levites here in this passage serve as examples for your heart, that you are to value, that you're to value the Lord above all else. You're to value the Lord above all else. And the last thing we had read to us this morning by Carl was where Paul talked of this. Not only did he say, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain, but he also went through this whole accounting of all the things in his life, which were very important and impressive things. But then he said, it's all a bunch of garbage compared to Jesus. He valued the Lord above all else. To know him, even to know Jesus' sufferings. That's what Paul valued. That's what we're to value. We're all to be people who say, like the psalmist, Lord, you are my portion. You are my cup. So be happy for the gifts, God's gifts to you, all the things he gives to you. Your job, your vocation, your house, your car, your cars, your kids, your parents, all the things that the Lord gives you, be happy for that. Those are things that are important and valuable. But above all, in our hearts, the Lord says to us through the Levites, as he has made us a holy nation of priests, that we are to be like the priests, in valuing the Lord above all else, in considering the Lord himself our inheritance. So be happy for his gifts. Pursue the life calling and vocation he has for you and enjoy those things. But desire, last blank, him more. Desire him more. Don't abandon the good things you're doing, but in your heart, don't set your heart on those things, as Jesus spoke about, those things that moth and rust will eventually destroy. Value him more. Let's pray. Jesus, we value you, our great high priest. We need you above all else. And we thank you for all the pastors that you've brought in our lives up to this point in our life, all the people that have focused their attention upon your word and your gospel, that have brought us the gospel so that we have come to believe. We pray, Lord, that you would see to the support of pastors across the world. that we might be matured, that your people across the world might be matured well as they are able to focus upon your word, freed from other vocations to support themselves, and so that the world might be reconciled to you. People might be pulled from the world to believe. But Lord, we pray so importantly that you would cause us all to see you as our portion and cup, to see you as our inheritance, that we would really fulfill what you said is true of us, that we, as the church, are a nation of priests whose inheritance is you. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Let's